Spoilers are where advanced information spreads about a movie, a TV show, or a book, and it shares how the story will end before we even get to start watching or reading. The ending's been spoiled. Now, some of us really enjoy them for that instant resolution. We can't read all the way to the end of the book. We want to know what happens. While the rest of us want to avoid spoilers to better relish the suspense and the surprise. Anjum Nawid is Professor of Human Factors at CQ University Australia at their Adelaide campus. And he's taken a look at the psychology behind why creators use spoilers and why people can love them or hate them. Our complex relationship with spoilers in today's media-drenched world. Anjum joins us right now to talk everything about spoilers. Anjum, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm glad to be on the show.
Glad to have you here this morning. So, Anjum, some spoilers are not planned, of course. You know, people read ahead in a book and it gets leaked on social media. Now everybody knows certain characters may have passed away, something crazy happens. But why might a creator of, you know, maybe a director of a movie or an author of a TV series deliberately choose to leak or not leak spoilers? What is the idea behind that tactic?
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it. If you think about the way that the public kind of consume media these days, whether it's in book form, TV form, or in cinema, a lot of it really is about building suspense and building expectation for what people might find. And that in itself can create conversation, can generate engagement, be a predictor maybe for the success of an experience too. So a lot of creators these days want to control the narrative as much as they can, and the way that the experience lands for, you know, for a viewer or a reader or, you know, whatever it might be.
Totally makes sense. I mean, I don't like going to a cinema knowing what's going to happen, especially with how, you know, spoiler-heavy trailers are these days. You get the whole film within
They pretty much give away the entire movie. I mean, yeah. The thing is, good. I would say that there are some directors, if you're thinking about movies, that are really good at crafting spoilers that avoid stuff. Christopher Nolan's usually a good one with that sort of thing. But a lot of them these days just basically give away all the plot points. It's yeah. Like, okay, I'm not going to watch anything before I go into watch something.
I've seen it. could you give us some examples then of, you know, planned leaks and maybe closely guarded endings? Because sometimes studios do want to get that conversation spinning on social media, or other times not so much. I can think of one famous sci-fi franchise that had a very impressive spoiler in their second film that did not want to be released.
Are you talking about Star Wars?
I am talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, well, even the cast didn't know what the twist was going to be until they turned up at the first showing, so at the screening. So that was quite a big one. But if we think about some of the real big tentpole universes, like the Avengers universe, Avengers Endgame, that was such a closely guarded secret that they actually wrote fake scripts to mislead the cast. They only had portions of the script available, and it was all to sort of take away the trail, so that the viewers would not actually know who lived, who died, and how things changed.
Do we have any examples of studios, maybe authors, who deliberately leak stuff in order to generate, you know, discussion around a media property?
Well, I mean, it's hard to sort of say who's done something deliberately. You might sort of argue that there's a lot of stuff that's done under the guise of oh, we didn't know anything about this. These days, it's so competitive. I think that there is stuff that does happen deliberately. There are many examples of, I think, small concept ideas that have leaked early ahead of something being greenlit and being given budget. And those sorts of leaks might have been all about kind of generating, you know, the will, the public excitement and will to actually get something going. I'm sure that there are lots of properties in the big cinema world where things are leaked deliberately, but we just don't sort of know that explicitly.
Yeah, it could be a little bit tricky, a little bit underhanded methods to get their films, movies or their TV shows spreading around. Like, it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, TV series as well. Sometimes those sorts of things, I think, leak intentionally to build the excitement, to generate conversation, get the Reddit,
yes,
get the Reddit threads going.
That's what I certainly look at. And there is something like a little bit perverse about enjoying spoilers, right? Like, a lot of people don't want media spoiled for them, but also a lot of the times it's very addictive to go down in those Reddit threads and find out what happens in a piece of media. So what is really happening, I guess, you know, psychologically, why do some of us love a bit of a spoiler?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, it depends on the way you sort of look at it, really. People that go out seeking spoilers do it for various reasons. For a lot of them, it's because they want to know that what they're about to experience is worthy of their investment. You know, how often have you chucked on a Netflix movie and, you know, after an hour and a half, 2 hours gone, what the hell did I just watch? And why did I watch it? I should have known better. You know, the ratings weren't great, but I watched it anyway. They want to know that it's going to be worth their investment. And also the twist, if it is a twist or if it is a big spoil or a reveal, is not really the most important part for them. It's actually about the narrative experience and absorbing yourself in the story and enjoying the story and immersing yourself in that experience. It's not really about just the, you know, M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end for them. But they're also a group of people, I would say, that want to control their emotions during the experience. They don't like suspense, or they can't regulate themselves well. So knowing in advance any big things that might be quite triggering for them or might be quite, you know, anxiety-inducing, they get the spoiler beforehand as a sort of shield to manage their anxiety and regulate their feelings and prepare for what's to come and stay grounded.
Yeah, and I was wondering, like, controlling your own sort of experience, staying grounded. I mean,
yeah,
reading about one of the articles you've written just on this topic, let's say about a TV show named Lost. You know, Lost took a very long time to finish, and people read up on the end of it. Actually, a bit of data shows they might have enjoyed it a little bit more rather than have so much expectations, be disappointed with something that's been running for so long. And then you've got spoiler avoiders. Who want that emotional transportation with something called the crave effect. Could you unpack that term for us a bit?
Yeah, so, I mean, the Lost example is a good one because it was one of those sort of... Wait, did you watch Lost when it came out?
Actually, yeah. Before we jump into this, I'm watching Lost right now. I am only on season 3, so if we could avoid... I'm a bit of a
late Lost.
Effect.
Late Lost.
I want the emotional transportation, so don't spoil it, please.
Can I ask how far through the series you are?
Look, we're only on season 3. We're only on season 3.
Oh, that's
no idea
a good
happens.
One. Yeah, that's
I
a,
no, I'm, oh, in, man, I'm right I've in got, it.
Can I just say that I've got all the power now?
You do.
I can totally spoil everything for you. And that's important, really, because spoiling is really about power and morality. And there is kind of that hierarchical, you know, power differential between people that have knowledge and don't have knowledge. Lost was one of those TV series that was the original kind of water, the kind of conversation that you had around the water cooler, because everyone was kind of on the train, they were talking about it, and it generated conversation. And I think people enjoyed coming up with theories about what's happening. And so sometimes, you know, the spoiling was part of the conversation and part of the journey towards actually understanding what's happening to all these people. And in many ways, because there were so many spoilers, there were so many, you know, the genre sort of changes that people equivocate to spoilers, people living, people dying, romantic shifts. In many ways, there was like an excess of these things. So one thing wasn't going to ruin anything. But as you sort of said, spoiler avoiders, they really want that in the moment, real time emotional transportation. They want to see that narrative being resolved in real time, because if you get that information early, then that might actually complete your mental model. So for example, if you learned that such and such person was going to die or was going to live, you know, based on what's happening, then that may make you less curious to actually see it for yourself on screen, and actually also less motivated to engage because you want that in the moment reward. And you'll go out to protect your enjoyment as well, as much as you can.
That's definitely what I'm doing with Lost, considering all of my friends and my youngest brother has finished watching it. So this seems, pretty on the nose. I'm very protective of my emotional experience for this show.
I envy you for actually having that experience now, because Lost is amazing.
In the
although you probably
age,
read about how people weren't very happy about, yes.
In the digital age, Lost is fantastic and great for surviving week by week. Episode to episode, back to back, it's fantastic. The last thing I want to ask Angie about spoilers is, I'm definitely a spoiler avoider, but can people actually change between being a spoiler avoider and a spoiler fan?
Well, I mean, I'm an example of that, I would say, because I would say that I was a card carrying spoiler avoider, to the point where I didn't want to hear anything at all about anything, even stuff that's really, really old, because as most spoiler avoiders engage with their, experiences, that anything is a potential enjoyable experience waiting for them to have. And so it's regardless of how old something is, they want that and they don't want anything revealed about it. But recently I had a scenario where I did overhear some spoilers. It was for the ending of season 2 of Severance. And it was actually quite a fascinating experience, because hearing people talking about the ending and trying to make sense of what they were saying and how they were saying it was kind of a journey in and of itself. And recently I also heard stuff about Superman and a variety of other things before going out and seeing them. And it's actually not as bad as I built up in my mind, I guess.
Good.
So it is possible, I think, for people to go from one kind of control to another. And so that change is kind of possible, I would say, in my case. So, N equals one, let's see. Mm-hmm. There's probably likely to be other people. Maybe you might go from being a spoiler seeker to a spoiler avoider as well. That might also be a transition that would work.
I guess your mileage may vary depending on the media property. I guess everyone's got a different taste.
Yeah.
Anjum, that's all the time we've got today. Thank you so much for dropping by the Thursday Daily and speaking with us all about spoilers and what to do if you're an avoider or a lover of the spoil. It's been great chatting with you.
Great, thanks. Appreciate it.
That was Anjum Nawid, Professor of Human Factors at CQ University, Australia in Adelaide, talking about the different ways we enjoy our shows and how spoilers can add to the experience.